Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is translation needed for anyone?
No.
No, okay. Chapter 9, text 3. Ashradadhana purushadharamas yasya parantapa aprapya mang nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. What's that verse, anyone? Krishna bhakti koile sarva kama kritahoi. Important verse, which is not directly quoted here. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yatha taror mula nishechenena tripyanti tat skandha bhujo pashakaha prano paharaj chat yatendriyanam tathaiva sarvahanam achyuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. That's the end of the translation. Prabhupada continues. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, one should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third-class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second-class or first-class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First-class attachment, second-class attachment, and third-class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Ashadadhanath purushad haramasyasya parantapa aprapya mang nivartante mrityu sangsara bhartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. A rather somber topic, but one that we should take note of, the topic of fall down from devotional service. We should take notice of this because Krishna himself speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada dedicates here quite a long purport to this topic. And we practically see that it is a pronounced phenomenon within our movement. People take to Krishna consciousness, they're enthusiastic for some time, and then they lose that enthusiasm and go away. Or they may become less Krishna conscious. They may interact with devotees in a less committed way. That's more common nowadays. We used to see devotees just vanish. But nowadays there's plenty of room. Everyone's welcome at any level whatsoever. So it's something we don't like to think about, but it's something we should think about. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote Maharaj Yudhishthira's reply to the question of the yaksha, Dharmaraj in the form of a yaksha, what is the most amazing thing? So the answer to that is Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gachanti Hayamalayam Shesha Sthavara Ichanti Kimascharya Matavparam. Yudhishthira Maharaj in reply gave another question, rhetorical question, saying that every day so many living beings go to the place of Yamaraj. In other words, they die. But those who at this point in this life did not yet die, they're making plans to stay. They go on with life as if they're not going to die. And then the question, what is more surprising than this? So we could also apply this to the subject of fall down, that we see others fall down, but we think, well, it can never happen to me. Everyone thinks they're impervious. But we're all in danger. As long as we're not in the first class position, Srila Prabhupada states in this purport, for the first class devotee, there's no question of fall down. As long as we're not in the first class position, we are in danger. There's an anecdote which I heard many years ago about Srila Prabhupada. which is not recorded, so people may doubt it, and even Srila Prabhupada said about this. Prabhupada said, but there are many bona fide anecdotes which are not recorded, and this which I'm about to recount may or may not be factual, but it is instructive nevertheless. That in London, one devotee saw Srila Prabhupada standing in front of the deities, Radha, Landanishvara, and clearly Srila Prabhupada was absorbed very deeply in meditation on them. And this devotee afterwards was bold enough to ask Srila Prabhupada what he was thinking of when he was standing in front of the deities. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I was praying to Krishna that I may never fall down." Sometime later, that same devotee was present when Srila Prabhupada said to a group of devotees, "You may fall down, any one of you could fall down, but I will not fall down." And then that devotee was again bold enough to ask, "That Srila Prabhupada, you said that you couldn't fall down just now, but then previously said you said that you were praying never to fall down. So how is that? If you can't fall down, then why were you praying not to fall down?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Because I'm always praying that I won't fall down, therefore I'll never fall down." Taking shelter of Krishna, full shelter of Krishna. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described the very shocking incident of Kala Krishna Das. He was Brahmin, raised in a pure atmosphere, traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal association all the time, and he fell down. That's frightening, isn't it? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard states, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaking about Kala Krishnadas, having brought him back to Puri. Now that I've brought him, Kala Krishnadas, here, I am asking him to leave. Now he can go wherever he likes, for I am no longer responsible for him. Purport. Kala Krishnadas was influenced and allured by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. We are talking about gypsies today. Maya is so strong that Kala Krishnadas left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Devotees are aspiring for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. He left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Not even high-class women. Gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slight independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he be the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what to speak of others? The Bhattadharis used to increase their numbers by using women to allure outsiders. This is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his little independence. Once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. So even those who fall away, they know that I'll have to suffer. But they're allured and go away. So, I'm an advocate of seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. There are levels of faith and levels of commitment. One who has firm faith will firmly commit himself. Someone who doesn't have firm faith will not firmly commit himself. Someone who doesn't have firm faith might firmly commit themselves or appear to commit themselves for some time, but they don't keep it up because their faith is, it doesn't have a very solid basis. I'll come back to that a little later. Now, I don't as an advocate of serious practice, I don't condemn devotees who are not practicing in as serious a way as they may want to. There may be many devotees who are householders, and because of their family commitments, they have to work long hours. It's very tiring, and you have bad company, and you don't have much time for practicing Krishna consciousness seriously as you might like to. You may have to go to some job or whatever. They're trying to balance their devotional service with family commitments and work commitments and social commitments. It's very difficult because to perform devotional service requires sufficient time to do sadhana. Srila Prabhupada gave us a morning sadhana program which goes on for at least 4 hours, but most devotees don't have 4 hours of sadhana every day. So those who are trying and their best in difficult circumstances, they are glorious, but there are others who make some adjustment, that instead of really trying to be Krishna conscious in difficult circumstances, they instead adjust their Krishna consciousness, and they don't really try to advance very much. So what should we say, or what should be our attitude to sort of try to help devotees? What often happens is because to become Krishna conscious when we're in the consciousness of Maya, it's a struggle. And already it's a struggle to become free from material attachments, and kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, and pride. It's difficult to become free from all these. It's a struggle. We have to really try. But it's already so much struggle to do a job and get enough money and look after the family. So what we see in many cases that devotees, they don't really struggle to become Krishna conscious. They just practice Krishna. They do some Krishna consciousness at some level. It's much easier in that way to make various compromises. For instance, if we have, just one example, if we have to eat only Krishna prasadam, only food offered to Krishna, well, it can be a struggle. It takes time. It's easier to buy some bread rather than make. It's quicker. Also vegetarian, we hope. We can offer it to Krishna, and he doesn't come out and deity doesn't tell us, look, cook something yourself. I don't want this eaten by, cooked by some karmis. He tells us in Bhagavad Gita, patrang pushpang palangto yang yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmana. He tells us that he likes to take food offered by devotees with love, but it's easier to make some adjustment. And then when we're exhausted after a day's work and we've been associating with people who are talking about so many things, we may want to see what's on TV, or our kids are there, and instead of looking after the kids, it's easier to have a TV. And then everything goes down. And what is required for advancement in devotional service, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, to accept whatever is favorable for advancement in devotional service and to reject everything that is unfavorable, then we may not make a distinction. Because it's too much to all the time be, when we're living in the atmosphere of Maya, it becomes very difficult to all the time be so rigid. And so if we relax a little bit, then now I can do Krishna consciousness just as I can, without too many rules for my position and my condition. But the problem with that is that we do require various rules and regulations to become advanced. That we get the mercy of Krishna by following his instructions as given in Shastra. And if we don't follow, whatever the reason may be, then we don't get the same kind of result. So we find devotees who have made... They're devotees, we can't say no devotees. They like to come for kirtans and aartis and festivals and all this. But at the same time, even though they've taken the devotional service, which means they were attracted to Krishna consciousness, they found that material life as they found it was not satisfying them. And then they take to Krishna consciousness. But then again, they become attracted to things that karmis are attracted to. And they may in many ways act and talk and presumably think in the same way as a non-devotee. They necessarily, they become interested in money, but maybe too much. And in their family, and security, and family security, what will happen to me, and all this kind of thing. And they become wrapped up in that. Maya sweeps them away. But still they like to come to the temple, chant Hare Krishna. That's very good. But their consciousness becomes too much wrapped up in all these things. Or it may be considering my prestige, this great enemy of advancement in devotional service is to think of one's own personal prestige. Various kinds of sense gratification. When we think of sense gratification, we often think of very gross things, but there may be more mild things also, they're not gross in the sense like meat eating, but they take our attention away from Krishna consciousness. Just like I was told some years ago that whenever there's this World Cup soccer, which just finished, Germany won the World Cup. All glories to Germany. Yeah. You're not supposed to say Jai. You're supposed to pretend you don't care. How do I know? Well, I see the news every day. It's the top item on the news. So I was told that in South America, that when the World Cup soccer is on, the whole of South America practically stops. All normal activities stop as people either go to the games or they watch it on TV. And that includes ISKCON. That all the devotees will be watching it on TV. For example, recently I was in an ISKCON restaurant and I saw the cook. I was staying in his room with him. And he's really, one thing I found out about him, he's really into motorbikes. He's got all these books about motorbikes and this. I wonder what he's thinking about when he's cooking. We see sometimes devotees, they form groups. It's not so prominent here in Europe. In India, it's quite prominent that someone becomes a leader of a group and they get their own group and they become a little guru and they control them. It's clearly in many cases not inspired only by pure devotional service, but the prestige and the control and in some cases the monetary gain from being a mini guru. So then we think, my group, my disciples, one can think, my disciples, I'm a guru and these are my disciples. A mundane way of thinking. Just recently I was in Russia and I was told that with the unrest that is going on in Ukraine, that devotees in West Ukraine are blaming devotees in East Ukraine and vice versa. Just like karmis. That's nonsense. Why should they think that East Ukraine is our enemy or West Ukraine is our enemy? In the 1980s, some of you may remember, for 2 weeks there was a war between England and Argentina. Not a football match, a war, full-scale war. Well, not full-scale, because it was, well, it was centered on the Falkland Islands, which in South America they have another name for it. But in the, it's some few islands in the South Atlantic, situated some distance off the Argentine coast, settled by less than 2,000 British people who've been there for generations, who farm some sheep. And Argentina one day walked in and said, well, now it's not under Britain anymore, now it's under Argentina. So the British sent in their good old Royal Navy and some helicopters and this and that, and in 2 weeks they kicked the Argentinians out. So it was big news at the time. At the time I was living in Calcutta Temple, and there was a devotee there from Argentina also, who had been, all the Argentine devotees at that time had been kicked out by the government, and most of them had come to India. So a few days after this war started, I said to him jokingly, hey, look, we're supposed to be enemies, because neither of us had even, we never thought, at least he didn't say anything and I never thought about it, that we should think of each other as enemies, because I'm from Britain and he's from Argentina and our countries are, well, we didn't think like that at all. But if we identify with the body and we're chanting Hare Krishna, we may be chanting Hare Krishna, but if we're cultivating mundane attachments, then we may think in this way also. And I've seen even very senior devotees when also America, the first time they attacked Iraqi forces, they went into Kuwait. And I said, then they very quickly they chased the Iraqi forces out of Kuwait. And I saw one big leader in our movement from America saying, we smashed them. We smashed who? What are you talking about? There were such demons fighting amongst each other. So this kind of mundane consciousness, it will be there unless we're very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, which begins with understanding I'm not the body. Remember that one? Anyone remember that? Did anyone teach, or does it start off nowadays from Radha Kund? It's supposed to start with Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Actually, chapter 1, but that's the lead up. But many times we think, well, you know, that's all very beginning stuff, but bodily attachment is very powerful. Even if we're practicing Krishna consciousness, unless we're regularly hearing and understanding even the basics, then even if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we may still remain in bodily consciousness. So here in this verse, Krishna is talking about falling down. But the question of fall down comes if we go up. If we don't go up, then we can't fall down, can we? Srila Prabhupada actually said that when he was asked by this Vishwakarma, who was temple president in Toronto, I think, one of those temples in Canada, in the good old days. So he asked Srila Prabhupada that if a brahmachari is thinking, if he gets married, is that a fall down? And Prabhupada said, well, if he's even thinking he's already fallen. So where is the question of falling down? He said in that instance. So there are so many other things. I gave some example. We may be chanting Hare Krishna, but we're also interested in football or motorbikes, or it may be Reiki or Ayurveda or astrology. Now, then, obviously there's some usage to Ayurveda and astrology, the Vedic practices. Reiki, maybe, I don't know.
Yoga.
Yoga, yeah. So these things may... Reiki, I'm doubtful about that because it's so mixed up with this Mayavad way of thinking. I think it's better for devotees to avoid it, the whole culture that goes with it. But Ayurveda, yoga, all these things, they can have their use within the life of a devotee, but if we become too much concerned with it, that Krishna consciousness becomes almost subsidiary to it, or we think that we first of all we have to do yoga, then we can do Krishna consciousness. So our focus becomes unfocused, not clear on what our goal of life is. And again, we come in bodily consciousness, too much concern with the body. And then, unless, as I said, I'm an advocate of serious practitioner, seriously practicing. Because if we think that, well, we can, I can chant when I like, how I like, if I like, when I feel like it, I'm taking it at my own, on my own grounds. But we have to take Krishna consciousness on the grounds that the acharyas gave to us. If we think we'll do it at my level, then how are we going to come up to a higher level? We have to always aspire to come to a higher level. So, unless we do that, then what's the point? I mean, there are many religions in the world, and people who take to religion, it's expected that they'll come to a higher platform. That's one of the complaints of the atheists against religion, that they talk about do good, be good, but in many cases, they're not very good. So religion is supposed to take us to a higher platform. At least we're thinking that there's God and there's a higher purpose, there's a higher controller. But if our religion leaves our life largely unchanged, then what's the use of it actually? If we have this very high aspiration of Krishna consciousness to go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world where all walking is dancing, all talking is singing, kataganam nartyam gamanam apivangshi priyasake, the sound of Krishna's flute is there. It's a very high aspiration. But if we continue with our life in a semi-mundane way, then what happened actually? Nothing much really happened. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport here in the Bhagavad Gita, when he writes about the spiritual world, that one should be captivated by this information. If we have faith, the subject of this verse, Ashadadhana Purusha, is faith. If we actually have faith that Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and that by following the process of Krishna consciousness, we can attain Krishna, then we should apply ourselves to that. If we don't, then it really shows that we don't have very great faith in Krishna or the teachings of Krishna and the acharyas in Shastra. So we're very fortunate that Krishna consciousness can take us to the highest platform, but we have to apply ourselves. Why not go for it? Sometimes devotees say, well, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, you just chant Hare Krishna. But yeah, you have to chant and practice very seriously. That we get from Shastra. Krishna consciousness is undoubtedly the topmost yoga system. So yoga is okay, but real yoga is Krishna consciousness. But yayata mam prapadyante tangsta thaiva bhajami aham. The more we invest our life, our mind, our thoughts, our energy, our time, our money in Krishna consciousness, then the more Krishna will reciprocate with us. That's obvious. That pure devotional service means to be always absorbed in Krishna. We have to cultivate that. Srila Prabhupada writes, based on the Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse, that Krishna consciousness, devotional service is a kind of cultivation. So the more we invest our time, our energy, etc., in Krishna consciousness, then naturally we can expect more of Krishna's reciprocation. And the less we invest in it, the less we'll get out of it. Of course, we don't really think, what am I going to get out of it? But it is a fact that if we take to Krishna consciousness in a very relaxed way or not very committed way, then we can't expect to become very Krishna conscious. It may definitely, anyone who's chanting is, it's in any way, in some level, then they're more fortunate than anyone who's not chanting. But the lackadaisical approach is not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from the spiritual world to give, not what Srila Prabhupada came to give. And practically any religious process that calls for no commitment or sacrifice or detachment, no rules, just allows everything, then it's useless. What's there? I mean, people come to a religious process because they want something better, something more principled, something higher than the day-to-day life that people live, mindless life of eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. So sometimes there's an idea that, well, we should make things easy for people. It's too difficult with all these rules, and let's make it easy for them. But we factually see that the fastest growing religion in America is the Mormon religion, as we were just discussing, which it has many rules. It's very hierarchical. It's not feministic. Women are not, which you might think, well, that doesn't go with the modern American life, so no one will join it, but it happens to be the fastest growing religion. Islam is also growing. One reason may be that it gives people some code of how to live. It gives them a clear idea, because in the modern Western world, the idea of independence and everyone's an individual is so much implanted in everyone's consciousness that people become confused, and they don't know what their direction in life is. And many people joined. I mean, there's this idea that if we make it easy for people, then many people will join our movement. But actually, when we were more strict, then many people were joining. And now when we're less strict, then less people are joining. And these scholars who started to study our movement, both favorable, like Stilson Judah, Larry Shin, and the unfavorable ones who are calling it a cult, a dangerous cult, they all noted that one reason that, because they were surprised that why were young people from Western countries coming to a movement which is so different, and they noted that one reason that people come is because it gives them a clear direction in life and a clear code of how to act. So if there is no code that, well, you just do whatever you like, however you like, whenever you like, if you like, then what is there to take to in Krishna consciousness? If we say that, well, you just, if you like it, you can take to it. And I was just discussing recently with devotees in one country, in Europe, that saying, well, it's very difficult to make devotees nowadays. And I suggested that one of the reasons is that, well, we don't preach to people to become devotees. We approach them with this attitude that, yes, if you like, you can take to it. We don't try to impose ourselves, we don't proselytize. But unless we give people a push, yes, you should do this, you need to do this, you must do this, then if we just say, well, if you like, yeah, you chant a little bit, it's okay, then people think, oh, okay, all right. And then you get a whole group. You may get many devotees. Some are chanting 3 rounds, 4 rounds, 10 rounds. And they'll go on for years and years and years. They come around once a week, once every 2 weeks for festivals. They chant a few rounds, and they never really commit themselves. They never really make it. They never really make the advancement that is required. So, simply to tell people in a neutral way that, yes, Krishna consciousness is the highest, but if we ourselves don't live that and exemplify that, if we're not clearly striving and really dedicating ourselves to that goal, then what is there for others to aspire to? Where is the example? It's not just by saying Krishna consciousness is the best. Then everyone says their path is the best. Actually, that was my, before I was admitted in this movement, that was my question that I would ask to all these different groups. There's so many different religious groups that everyone says they're the best. So why? What have you got? Everyone says their path is the best. So why should I follow you? What is it that makes you special? So that was a key question for me. So we won't bring people into serious practice of Krishna consciousness, which they need to practice seriously if they're going to make proper advancement. We can't do that unless we follow it ourselves, simply by talking about higher levels. Now, tomorrow is Radhashtami, Shrimati Radharani Ki Jai. And we can expect there'll be lots of talk of Radha Leela and so many things. But then if the next day it's back to watching the TV or whatever, then it becomes somewhat hypocritical. It's unrealistic, actually. It's unrealistic. We have to go step by step up to there. It's simply by talking about the highest level doesn't bring us to the highest level. We can't simply talk about the high level and practicing at a low level. There's a disconnect. So therefore, I advocate serious, clear, straightforward practice of Krishna consciousness, which I am informed that I am known in some circles as a fanatic. But actually that's not correct according to the definition that Srila Prabhupada gave of the term fanatic. He said that religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism. So if we don't have philosophy, then we may be fanatical or we may be sentimental. But to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously, that is enjoined in Shastra. Tivrena bhakti yogena. That's always stated. Just like Arjuna, he was a devotee of Krishna. He wanted to practice devotional service in his own way. And Krishna told him, no, you have to do what I say. You can go away and meditate, but that's not what I want you to do. He had to do what Krishna wanted him to do. Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport, in the Nectar of Instruction, in this Krishna consciousness movement, one's consciousness must be changed. If consciousness is aimed toward material enjoyment, it is material consciousness. And if it is aimed toward serving Krishna, it is Krishna consciousness. So that is the distinction. And of course, there may be shades in between. So Srila Prabhupada talks about devotees, neophyte devotees, third class devotees who may mix up their Krishna consciousness. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga. And sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. But there has to be some program to get rid of that infection. And if we're not very clear about what is our present position and what we need to do to become elevated, then we're not going to become elevated. If we think that, well, what I'm doing is fine, it's great, If we think we don't need to improve, then we're not going to improve. So we have to see what is if there's any tendency toward material enjoyment. Or are we actually acting, thinking in a way that we're always thinking how to please Krishna? Again, this can be very difficult if we are in the physically in a half-half position, that we are working in some job or whatever, which is another reason why Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to establish rural communities in which devotees could live together in their own culture and help each other to be Krishna conscious without having to mix with non-devotees. Just one example, we see in our movement that there is just recently in the last few years, it's become very popular that we have long sessions of kirtan, just chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But actually, of course, that's not bad in and of itself, but actually the process is Shravana Kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the process of a regular program of hearing the philosophy as well as chanting Hare Krishna. But if we only have kirtan and then a feast at the end and no philosophy and no regular morning program in which there all the whole package is there, then we think, yeah, I like to go to festivals, I like to go to these kirtan melas, but there's no day-to-day practice of Krishna consciousness. It's something like daily we need to eat rice, dal, chapatis, plain food. And then time to time there's a feast. But if we only want to eat the feast, then we can't digest. We won't get the proper benefit. So we need to have daily practice. I'm not saying there shouldn't be kirtan melas, and definitely festivals must be. There's very joyful, we're very happy to worship Srimati Radharani and Krishna on his appearance day, and all these festivals. But there must be daily practice also. If it's only festivals and special occasions, then it becomes something like Christians who go once a year to church on Christmas Day, or they don't have daily practice. Actually, Christians are supposed to have daily practice also. But then it becomes more like a partially somewhat religious, somewhat social. We meet our friends who also only come on the festivals, and it's nice, and they're all devotees, but there is a tendency not to be very serious in our practice. Kirtan without Shravan is incomplete. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that Sankirtan, when the general meaning we think of Sankirtan as kirtan with Sangha. Bahube Militva Yat Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam. That kirtan in which there are many people come together to chant is called Sankirtan. But another meaning is Samyak Kirtan, which means complete kirtan, and that means with Shravan also. Shravan must be there. Without Shravan, kirtan cannot come to perfection. Just as when we say Krishna, that the real meaning is Radha Krishna, because Radha is inseparable from Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that when we say kirtan, the real meaning is Shravan Kirtan. Both things must be there, as we see by Srila Prabhupada's example. He would regularly speak. Otherwise, without this speaking, and speaking must be also in a manner that, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that it distinguishes reality from illusion for the welfare of all. So, as long as we're in conditioned consciousness, we have to understand, we have to hear regularly to understand what is Krishna consciousness, what is Maya, Otherwise, we tend to mix up the two things in our minds and think it's all the same, which it's not. And then we don't make proper advancement. We have to regularly hear and understand. Anyabhilashita shunyam gyanakam adhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. That we are aiming for first class, highest level of practice of devotional service. That means without any personal desire, either for material enjoyment or for liberation. So if we're only practicing Krishna consciousness, like coming to festivals, or we make a compromise with our own mind, yeah, you do what you can as you can, then our whole practice of Krishna consciousness, it has becomes tinged with a material overlay, and we don't really advance. And then we tend to think of what is actual Krishna consciousness in terms of our material judgment. For instance, we might think that a good kirtan is one in which I feel good and the singer sings very nicely, and we don't really care whether the singer follows any principles, is committed to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Just the main qualification of kirtan is someone is singing nicely and it makes me feel good. So this is a material approach. It's not that we're chanting Hare Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in my service, but rather we're engaging the holy name in our service. I like it. It seems nice to me. So we don't get the... We may think, yes, I'm so attached to kirtan. If we're actually attached to kirtan, then we should be attached at 4:30 every morning, not just during some kirtan mela. Why only at that time? So Srila Prabhupada, of course, he encouraged everyone at every level. He said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He encouraged everyone. But if we think about it, what does it mean to say chant Hare Krishna and be happy? We can't be happy unless we're fully Krishna conscious, as long as we're cultivating material desires or not trying to assiduously to get free from them, then we can't be fully happy. Srila Prabhupada also taught that to be happy, we have to surrender to Krishna. And so the only really acceptable level, of course, we may say to someone, yes, okay, you chant, that's very nice, you come. We may say that, but at the same time, we should know that bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hriti vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as there is any desire in our heart for any form of material enjoyment or for liberation, these desires which are like witches, then where is the question of actually having the happiness of pure devotional service? We're cheating ourselves, so we should consider these points. I can understand that who is present now, I'm not blaming you by any means. I can understand that you're the very fact that you're here now is indicative that you're very interested in hearing, because generally not so many devotees come to my lectures as maybe those of other sannyasis in ISKCON, because they know they're going to get a lecture like this, which may not please their senses very much, whereas others may tell them all leelas and things like that which they like to hear. So anyone who submits themselves to this, I can understand that they're interested to hear it, but we should also tell others, because especially newcomers, they come and they don't know, and they see that, oh yeah, it's okay, it's all right, you just come. Come every so often when you like and do a little chanting and strictness, you don't want to be too strict. And maybe no one will tell them. Maybe someone will tell them, don't be too strict. So actually often that does happen. I know of cases like that. I know One disciple of mine, he was living in the temple, then he went back to his hometown where he wanted to get married, and he went. And in that town, there's a smallest concern. He started coming to Mangalati every morning. And the leader of the temple there told him, why come to Mangalati? Why put yourself to so much trouble? Because he didn't come to Mangalati. It was embarrassing for him. So he said, don't be so strict. So they may even tell you, don't be strict. But what's strict? That's just some basic things that Srila Prabhupada taught us. So we should be cognizant of this and advise people that, the more you put into it, the more you can expect to get Krishna's mercy. It's not automatic. It's not just by putting on some tilak that Krishna comes rushing and falls down at your lotus feet and says, how can I serve you? In fact, the devotee's aim is not that at all. His aim is to please Krishna only. But it is demanding, no doubt. Krishna consciousness is very different to the whole modern way of life. But then the whole modern way of life is simply horrible, if you hadn't noticed. So there's some thoughts. Hare Krishna. Any question about this place? Question, comment, or protest? Now is the time. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Questions about kirtaniyas. Yeah. Well, every devotee in our movement's a kirtaniya. We all do kirtan, right? Famous kirtaniyas.
For example, like yesterday, the kirtaniya of yesterday, he don't look like he's very famous in his form, but he don't look like proper Vaishnava.
Doesn't look like a proper Vaishnava. Famous kirtaniya doesn't look like a proper Vaishnava. What should we do? What do you want me to say? Shoot him? Should you visit his kirtans or not? Well, you have to judge. If Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that one can see that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, what it can be seen that someone is getting the effect from chanting Hare Krishna if they're enthusiastic to engage in service to Krishna. So after any japa retreat or kirtan mela or whatever it may be, with emphasis on the holy name, we should be more enthusiastic to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But often I see that this chanting is taken out of context of the mission, and it's just chanting. But for Srila Prabhupada, everything was interconnected with the mission, which is our service. So unless we become more convinced to not only apply ourselves in sadhana, but also to the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and all the acharyas, then what's actually going on? We have to judge and see. I shouldn't say anything about anyone personally, but that we have to judge according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. If this is this what Srila Prabhupada wanted? Is this what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give? That we have to see. Then another question? You said you had two questions.
Another question is about rating, because I see like regularly, especially Russian devotees, they are practicing rating. And I don't know what to think about it. Is it beneficial for our...
Well, I already spoke about that briefly. What didn't you understand after saying what I said about it?
Is it good or is it bad?
Is it good or is it bad? Is a motor car good or bad? Is a motor car good or bad?
Depends how
you
use it.
So Reiki, if it works, some people say it works, can be good for the bodily health. But As you may have noticed, I said that the whole culture that goes with it is very impersonal and atheistic. So if you get into it, then it's very difficult not to be affected by that, with all the ideas that come with that. So I'm not very enthusiastic about that, because it's so... I saw some book, it's like heavy, heavy Shunyavad. It's completely mixed up with Reiki. The whole the concepts underlying it. And so... I personally am not enthusiastic about that. I had some devotee offer to do Reiki on me and said, she told me that you don't have to do anything, I'll just do it, I'll just meditate on you and do this wherever you are. He said, you don't even have to be present. It didn't have any effect. It may be that some people have effect. But it's like that with any system. You can go to some famous Ayurvedic doctor and so many people tell you it cured so many people, but you may not get cured. You may not have any effect, even though you follow everything he says, because the laws of karma are like that. So it may work for some. I don't know.
There is a lecture on Sutra Maharaj about the Reiki, and it's explaining that he's explaining the whole thing, that it's the communication with ghosts.
Oh, I see.
Indebted to ghosts.
I see. They get cured by ghosts, is it? Yeah. And then they want something back from you. That Sahodra Maharaj gave that analysis.
Ghost or bad ghost, like, and they will say, I'm a good one or different thing. And then, but they.
It works by.
For you, from you, okay.
Right. Ghosts, they want to take
something.
They
will somehow other control.
Yeah, it may be also, yeah. There was a famous doctor in Wales who manifested himself after his death and cures people. But Wales, you know, it's a little country, part next to England, part of the United Kingdom. Population is probably less than that of Bayern. It's only about 2.5 million, the whole so-called country. Anyway, but I read some book about exactly this kind of thing, written by a Western person, about all these different kinds of healing that is done by these mystical means, and he came to the same conclusion. It's done via ghosts, and they do good, but they want something from you.
There is one.
Anyway, let's not talk too much about that now. If you want to talk about it more in the morning, is the wrong time to be talking about. If at all, we should talk about such things. We don't become ghost conscious. Okay, anything else? If not, then Hare Krishna. There are so many things, but we have to put some limit on it, time-wise. Yeah.
Sometimes I got some question from some devotees. How can I have a real faith in the process if I see so many like devotees practicing for so many years and still they have some kind of strange ideas or they don't see?
Yeah. It's a common thing. It's a common thing. How can I have faith that the process of devotional service works if I see that after so many years devotees fall away or they still have so many mundane ideas? Well, my answer to that is that it shows that Krishna consciousness works. And they might say, what? But yes, because if you follow properly, then you get the proper result. And if you don't follow properly, then you get it's predictable. Unless we apply ourselves in the proper way, then we won't get the proper result. So that just shows Krishna consciousness is a science. It need not be a discouragement. That means that, all right, just like I often think that my father in many ways was a very good guru to me, because in some ways, because from a young age I thought, I'm not going to smoke like him, always coughing and coughing. So I learned not to. There are other things also. I need not go into it in detail. So we can learn from the negative examples of others also. It's become a formality to say that. But, all right, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was not listening.
So usually they say, thank you for the wonderful class. That's the normal thing that's said. And then I reply to that, oh yeah, so what was wonderful? And then they have to think about what was in the class. And they can say something. Yeah, anyway, go on.
In places where, I mean, as I understand, have a strong association, then it's getting easier for neophyte devotees to develop that faith.
Right. If there's strong association, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, in the second sentence, faith is created by association with devotees. So if there's strong devotees, strong atmosphere, then people, they pick it up also.
For the Yatra here in Germany, for example, as we can see here, it's basically very much a struggle to just keep the temple together.
Yeah, as in many parts of the world, it's just a struggle to keep the temple running on. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that pure devotees, they can deliver the world. That's one song is there that... Ramanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane, that every one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every one of them is capable of delivering the whole universe. So Srila Prabhupada writes that we therefore request every member of the Krishna conscious movement to become a pure devotee so that many people may be delivered. Yeah, there's one case, there was one devotee in Vrindavan when the temple was being built, and it was a real struggle. Because the devotees didn't know the local language, they were getting cheated, they were getting sick, and because the nature of the service, overseeing the construction, is very difficult for them to have any proper sadhana. So one devotee was fed up and he wanted to leave, and he said, well, Prabhupada, the devotees here, they all talk prajalpans, and Prabhupada said, then you set the proper example. He threw it back on that devotee and said, you become that one. So that's the challenge. It is a great challenge, no doubt. It's sad to see, but we hope that the Sphinx will arise again. You know that example? So, should do. I mean, how long should we go on in this when we got such good things to offer? I didn't attend the Harinam this afternoon. Thank you for doing that. That's very good. This is the kind of things. That's another thing I said when this devotee says it's very difficult to make devotees nowadays. I said, well, one of the things I said is, well, if we did what we did in the past, have regular Harinams and lots of book distribution, then we don't need to do all these fancy tricks. So we distribute the books, do Harinam, people will come. But who is that? Dharindar, you. He said that they are such a good place for Sankit, for Harinam. And he's from Czech, and Prague is a great place. Maybe you didn't notice because you didn't, that's your first exposure. But I remember once I was in Bangladesh, this must have been the early 1980s, and Prabhupada Swami came and said, oh, I was just in Prague, it's a great place for Harinam, best place in the world. So... it is very good because there's lots of walking streets and lots of tourists in the
sun. But we are in Brno, there are no tourists.
In Brno. But anyway, every place is a good place for Harinam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it in the jungle. And and the living beings were uplifted there also. But yeah, if we do these things, then people will come. And as I noticed, one time I was here some years ago, there was an all-day festival in the walking street, Hare Krishna festival. And it seemed to be lots of Muslims were coming. So I was told here also today the Muslims are taking more interest. If the regular Germans are not coming so easily, well, preach among them too. That's a great solution. Now the Western countries, they've created, well, especially America, they created this whole hoo-ha about Muslims and Islam and this and that. But, you know, they always got to have some enemy. So they started off with this Ayatollah Khomeini. They were shocked when he said, America is the great Satan. But I can understand why they say, because they want to bring their culture. They want to bring their McDonald's and their Coca-Cola and their rock music. But they have a religious culture and family values. And they want to keep this satanic American way of life out. And Americans were shocked. And then since that time, they've just been antagonizing Muslims. But what will happen? And it'll just make certain sections of the Muslim population more and more antagonistic. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program is let everyone join together, chant the holy names. So we can preach among them also. If they're taking interest, if the German people aren't taking so much interest, then preach among the Muslims. Why not? Doesn't mean they all have to convert from Islam. Prabhupada often said that. If you're a Christian, be a good Christian. If you're Muslim, be a good Muslim. And we may also suggest that you don't take slaughterhouse meat and all this kind of thing. Anyway, that's another big discussion. Hare Krishna. What's your background in this body? Yourself? No, but I'm talking about your body, the present body that you're in.
From Hungary,
I see. I saw you were listening very carefully. I was talking about Muslims. I thought maybe you're from a Muslim background. That's why I was asking. Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much. Wonderful class.
What was wonderful about it?
And please come back.
Okay, thank you. Some places they ask me to come back, and other places they say don't come again, or they don't. They don't even let me in. Yeah, I thought there'd be less people today because tomorrow is a festival and people, two nights in a row, it's difficult for them when they're working and others may be also preparing for the festival. Anyway, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.